Hey kids, this is Barn with my Grandpa Dennis.
The cartoon collection is dynamite.
And for those cold winter days, my grandpa's collections are great and we have so much fun.
Almost forgot, Grandpa wanted me to tell you.
What are you waiting for? Order today.
OldTimeRadioDVD.com. Take it from me, Byron. You'll be glad you did.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
Old Tales Anew, The Lost Puppy, E101, December 18th, 1950. The Minnesota School of the Air. Minnesota School of the Air presents Old Tales Anew, a tape-transcribed program for the primary grades. These broadcasts come to you at 11 o'clock each Monday morning and at 2:15 each Thursday afternoon throughout the school year. Our story for today is about Christmas and the lost puppy.
Give you greetings, young friends. I have a story to tell you, one that has been handed from father to son in my family for almost 2,000 years. And at Christmas, all the children gather at my knee, and I tell them how it happened. Of course, this all came about so long ago that my family does not know if it is true, the part about the puppy. But it is a good story, because it could have happened there in that stable at Bethlehem, one wintry night, so many, many years ago. Yes, yes, it could have happened. My family are all shepherds, you see. We've always been shepherds who guarded our flocks in all kinds of weather. Well, it seems that these early relatives of mine were guarding their sheep one night in the hills beyond Bethlehem, in the land of Judea.
The winds? This past hour they've been blowing exceeding strange.
In gusts and whirls. It's a restless night for the sheep.
Aye, and for the dog, too. She's whined since we first came to watch. Do you think it is her puppy that she mourns for?
Aye. She would look for him, but a sheepdog does not leave the flock, and so she mourns.
Perhaps in the morning we can find him for her. He was a good dog for one so small. Come, come, friend. Perhaps in the morning we'll find your son. No, we cannot leave the flocks. Rest still until morning.
She cannot rest, David. No more can I. I am not given to whimsy and imaginings, but David, have you noticed yonder star?
Aye, Abraham, I've noticed, and I cannot place it in the heavens. All my life I've studied the skies at night during the long watches, but never have I seen that star before.
It is indeed a night of strangeness.
Abraham.
Yes?
Has it seemed to you, Abraham, that that star is growing brighter with each passing moment? Brighter and nearer?
It has seemed that to me, David. But I thought it an idleness of my mind to suppose a star would come nearer and grow brighter.
The wind is chill, and then the next gust is warm and gentle as a spring day. It blows from Bethlehem over yonder.
Quiet, friend, quiet. David and I will look for the little lost one in the morning.
The night upsets her, too. The sheep are also restless.
Let us walk among the sheep to quiet them. Come, David.
Come, friend. The sheep quiet when you walk among them, too. Come. In the morning we will look for the small one.
¶¶
They say that all Judea was restless that night. And they say, too, that in the heavens, even the angels flew about, waiting the great moment. But the star did come nearer and shone brighter, and at last it stopped and brightened almost blindingly over a small stable behind an inn, looking on a small courtyard. It was about midnight when the star swung low over the stable, and it shone so brilliantly that out in the hills beyond Bethlehem, where David and Abraham watched their sheep, they saw it come to rest, and they wondered.
Never have I seen such a thing.
Nor I, David. It seems to hold its breath there so low over the city.
My eyes cannot look upon it for the brightness. Abraham.
Yes, David?
Abraham, something of great importance is happening at this moment to make the very heavens change this way. It is happening now, across the hills, in Bethlehem.
Perhaps it is the strangeness of the night air that makes the star seem to rest there above the city.
And is it the night air that makes the sheep and our dog here as restless as we are? Is that too the night air?
I don't know, David. I don't know. In all my memory, I can think of no other night like this.
Abraham.
Yes, David?
Let us take the sheep and go into the city to see this great happening.
Two shepherds and a flock of sheep wandering the streets of the city in the middle hours of the night? Why, David, they would think us mad.
Who would think us mad? No one is awake. If there prove nothing of greatness happening, we can bring the flock back again to the hills by morning, when our cousins take over their watch of the sheep. Even a friend here would go into the city. The road to Bethlehem lies yonder. It is but a little way. Come, Abraham.
You've lost your wits, my brother.
No, Abraham. I feel in my heart that this is a night of greatness. Hold. Listen. Do you hear something?
Yes.
A thousand voices singing could not make so much beauty.
It seems to be coming on the breeze from the south. The warm breeze from Bethlehem.
Music. Music such as only the heavens ever know.
David. We will take the flock and go yonder into Bethlehem.
It is wise, Abraham. It is wise. Come, friend. Come, gather the flock and let us all start for the road to see what wondrous thing is happening.
I'm an old shepherd. And it has been many, many years since my grandfather told this story to me. But I have never forgotten this part of it for an instant. The shepherds all knew the old stable behind the inn. Sometimes they left their flocks in the courtyard on market days. And the old stable always had a few animals in it. A cow, perhaps, a horse or two, some chickens. Well, this night, too, there were animals in the stable. A horse, a cow, and a donkey. But they were not the usual scuffed and ragged-looking animals. Their coats were brushed and shining. Clean, fresh straw lay on the floor and in the mangers, and the whole stable looked swept and neat. Never before had the stable looked so fine. It was an old building, but inside not a straw was out of place. Now, the story says that all day the angels had worked to fix that stable, and at sunset, when two weary travelers entered it, the angels withdrew back to heaven to put on their brightest halos for the midnight flight of glory when they sang their welcome to the newborn king. You know that part of the story, how there was no room in the inn for Joseph and Mary, his wife. So they sought shelter in the stable. And there, at midnight, the baby Christ was born, and his mother Mary laid him in a manger. It was to this stable, not long after midnight, that David and Abraham came with their sheep and the dog named Friend. And there on their knees, they adored their king, while overhead, angels sang and the star shone and all the world held its breath in wonder.
Abraham.
Yes?
It is Christ the Lord who was to be born in Bethlehem. The star and the angel singing. It is all real and true. Quiet, friend. Lie quiet. The baby sleeps. Quiet. The sheep in the courtyard are quiet. I should have put you out with them unless... Friend, come back here. Come back.
What is it with the dog?
Pay no heed. She's talking to the other animals that stand beyond the manger crib. The baby's mother smiles. The dog did not disturb his sleep.
That it should be given to us, two humble shepherds, to pay homage to the king. David, the world has never seen a night such as this.
Nor shall it ever see such a night again.
And as they knelt there, they came a tugging on David's cloak. He looked and saw that friend had found her puppy hiding away and brought him back. And David picked the puppy up to warm him in his arms and keep him quiet, while friend lay proud and happy now in the straw beside them. Now, the puppy was not brushed and handsome as all the other animals. He'd crept into the stable looking for rest after the angels had finished their work. And they say the angels, when they saw the bedraggled puppy in the presence of the king, wished the puppy anywhere but there. And then the baby awoke. His mother picked him up, and at that, the puppy scrambled out of David's arms and scampered across the floor to the mother and the child. The puppy'd never seen a baby before. The mother smiled and held up her son so he could see the little dog. And then the baby smiled. And it seemed, or so the story says, it seemed that when the baby smiled, that small and dirty puppy became very, very beautiful indeed.
Story of the Lost Puppy was written for radio by Betty Gerling. In the cast were Irv Fink, Jerry Allen, and Al Powers. Our engineer was Larry Larson, sound by D. Scheinblum, music by Marlene Forsberg. We'd like to remind all our young listeners that the Old Tales and New Request programs will be coming along soon after Christmas. For the weeks January 22nd and 29th, 1951, the children who listen to this series in their classrooms will have the opportunity to vote by mail for the stories that they've liked best. We ask that nobody send in votes before Christmas, because the mailmen are just too busy to handle mail that can just as soon come after the holidays. But you can be thinking about your favorites and remembering that after Christmas, each boy and girl has the chance to vote for the story he liked best. The two winning stories will be broadcast on our Children's Choice programs, January 22nd and January 29th. The Minnesota School of the Air has just presented Old Tales and New, a program for the primary grades. These tape transcribed broadcasts are presented twice each week during the school year. Old Tales and New will next be heard Monday, January 8th at 11 o'clock and Thursday, January 11th at 2:15. Our story then, The Sleeping Beauty. Until next year, all of us here join together in wishing each of you a very Merry Christmas and a happy, peaceful New Year. Your announcer has been Alan Hart.